Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, chapter entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Text number 20. Evam prasanna manaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangyasya Jayate. Evam. Thus. Prasanna, enlivened. Manasa, of the mind. Bhagavad Bhakti, the devotional service of the Lord. Yogataha, by contact of. Bhagavat, regarding the personality of Godhead. Tatva, knowledge. Vijnanam, scientific. Mukta, liberated. Sangasya, of the association. Jayate, becomes effective. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material contamination. Translation responsibly. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness. The man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material contamination. In the Bhagavad Gita, 7.3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Mostly men conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance. Mostly men are conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance. And thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankerings, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life, and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita, 1855, it is said that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. And as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance, or, in other words, when one is actually a Brahmana by qualification. A Brahmana is the symbol of Sattva-guna, or the mode of goodness, and others who are not in the mode of goodness are either Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, or less than Sudras. The Brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a Brahmana. The devotee is already a Brahmana by action, and that is not the end of it. But that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a Brahmana has to become a Vaishnava, in fact to be actually in the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a Brahmana. In the material stage, even a Brahmana is also a conditioned soul because, although in the Brahminical stage the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the Brahminical stage and reach the Vasudev stage to understand the personality of Godhead, Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual line. Foolish men, or men with a poor fund of knowledge, do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a Brahmana. When a qualified Brahmana actually becomes a Vaishnava in the enlivened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. Omagyan timirandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshun milichamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu yevacha petitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter, we've discussed in the last several classes that I've given, that this chapter is describing the process of spiritual advancement that we follow in our line from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the process of advancement which has 9 levels of progress. What are the 9 levels? Shraddha to
Prima,
like that. So actually, coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are 2 processes of perfection coming from Gauranga himself when Mahaprabhu appeared. One, he gave to Vakrasrara Pandit. You might remember Vakrasrara Pandit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vakrasrara Pandit was an extremely powerful Sankirtan devotee. And he was an incredible dancer. And sometimes when Lord Chaitanya would divide up the kirtan parties, Lord Chaitanya would put Vakrasrara Pandit as the lead dancer in one of the parties. Lord Chaitanya would be the lead dancer in one party. Nityananda Prabhu would be the lead dancer in another party. Advaita Prabhu would be the lead dancer. And then Vakrasrara Pandit would be the lead dancer in one other party. So he could dance so wonderfully, and he was so powerful. Sometimes it's said he used to dance for 72 hours non-stop. Just like tonight, we're going out on Harinam. For how long? 1 hour, 2 hours, like that. 72 hours non-stop. And Lord Chaitanya said, if I had another wing like Vakrasrara, I could fly. Right? He's such a powerful kirtan performer. So, Lord Chaitanya gave one line to Vakrasvara Pandit, and then he gave another line to Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. So from Lord Chaitanya there were two ways to become perfect. One is called Siddha Pranali, which Prabhupada writes about in his books. Usually when Prabhupada mentions Siddha Pranali, it's in a negative way or critical way. The Siddha Pranali means at the time of your initiation, then your spiritual master, he gives you information about your Swarup, which means your eternal relationship with Krishna. At the time of initiation, the guru says to you, you are a gopi, or you are a cowherd boy, or you are a peacock. He will give you at that time. And then you begin to meditate on the different features of that relationship. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this line to Vakrasvara Pandit. And Vakrasvara Pandit gave his disciple, Gopal Guru, and his disciple, Jan Chandra, also wrote about this. So it was given by Mahaprabhu. There was a line coming from Lord Chaitanya where he would give certain devotees their Siddha Swarup from the very time of their initiation. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, he criticized this method very heavily, and so did Prabhupada. They criticized it very heavily. Why? Because, first of all, the Guru has to be qualified, and the disciple has to be qualified. So Mahaprabhu is qualified. Who is more qualified than Lord Chaitanya to tell you who your Swarup is? Mahaprabhu, he knows your Swarup, so he can say, yes, you are a gopi, you are a cowherd boy. Like that, begin to meditate. And secondly, you must be qualified. If you're not qualified, what use will it be to you? Just like now, if your guru at the time of your initiation, the day he gave your initiation, he said to you, you are a gopi, or you are a cowherd boy, what use is that for you? Because you have no realization at this point in time. You're still a neophyte devotee. So for you, it would have no benefit to know that. It would just be imagination, it would just be a figment of your imagination. It would not be anything real. It would not assist you greatly in your Krishna consciousness at this point in time. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because there was a line of practitioners, even to this day, you can go to Radhakund, and there are Babajis who will give you this Siddha Pranali initiation, even now. And there's actually some personalities who are actually very qualified as gurus. And they may even be able to give you this. But what is your qualification? So you may go to Radhakund and think, oh, I will find a guru. He's a pure devotee. There are pure devotees on this planet right now. At Radhakund there are pure, very exalted personalities. You may go to them and you may think, oh, if I get this Siddha Pranali mantra, if I find out who I am in Krishna's Leela, then I will become perfect like that. But what is your qualification? So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he criticized very heavily, because what often takes place is the guru is not qualified, the disciple is not qualified, and it actually gives the opposite result. Because when one takes initiation and one begins to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, what is the result? Lust will diminish in the heart. We should be feeling this. As we practice Krishna consciousness, each week, each month, and especially each year, over time, you should feel that lust or your material desires are diminishing in your consciousness. You should feel that the material desires are going down. Sometimes it comes back up. That happens. That's natural. While you're practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes you go through your good times and your bad times. Sometimes the material desires come back very strongly. But in general, as time progresses, you should feel that your material desires are lessening, that the lust is dissipating, that the lust is becoming less. So, the opposite will happen if you are unqualified, and if the guru gives you your relationship with Krishna prematurely, and you're not ready for it, and you begin to meditate on these things, especially Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, if you begin to meditate on these things and you're not ready for it, what will happen? The lust increases. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, were very critical that these things did not take place publicly, because if the guru is not qualified and the disciple is not qualified, it will have a very negative effect. But as we said, from Lord Chaitanya through Vakrashwara Pandit to Gopal Guru to Jan Chandra, there was a line started by Lord Chaitanya himself, which was Siddha Pranali, where Lord Chaitanya said, "You are this particular person. Begin to meditate on that." So the guru was qualified, the disciple was qualified, and the result came. But then there was another line, and that is the line that we are in. It is the line coming from Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. Lord Chaitanya spoke to Rupa Goswami for 10 days on the Dashrametha Ghat in Prayag, Allahabad. So for 10 days he instructed Rupa Goswami. If you look at Lord Chaitanya's life, he himself is only attributed to writing 8 shlokas, which we call Sri Shikshastika. But he didn't write a lot of books. But he instructed his disciples and he said, "Now you write." He spoke to Sanatan Goswami for 2 months in Varanasi. He spoke to Rupa Goswami for 10 days in Prayag, Allahabad. And then he said to them, "Now you write everything. I give you the basic instructions, the basic shiksha, the basic philosophy. Now you elaborate upon it in your writings." So Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath and the other followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they wrote or they codified Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and they wrote everything down in the Goswami Granthas or the Goswami literatures. So they wrote these books in order to give the followers of Lord Chaitanya, coming in their line, the process of devotional service from Shraddha to Prema. In other words, it's a gradual process of elevation of consciousness. Now, this concept of Shraddha to Prema, these 9 levels of devotion, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. These 9 levels of devotion. They are written by, or codified, or written down in shloka form in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya has said, "You write about this, this gradual process of elevation of consciousness." And this process which Rupa Goswami is writing, from Shraddha to Prema, it is based on these verses right here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is where it is directly coming from. All of Lord Chaitanya's teachings are based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is a gradual process of bhakti, which we were describing last week in the class we gave last week. It is a gradual process of bhakti. That is what we are following. The spiritual masters in our movement, in ISKCON, right, following in the line of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami, through disciplic succession to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada has empowered his disciples to initiate. On the day of initiation, your guru doesn't say to you, "You are a gopi." Right? Did Devamrita Swami say to you, "You are a gopi"? Right? Did Jayaprataka Swami say to you, "You are a cowherd boy"? Did Prabhupada Swami say, "You are a peacock"? Right? No one said like that. Because that is not the line that we follow. There is a line which follows that, but you have to be qualified. Our line is different. Our methodology, which Lord Chaitanya has given, is different. Because apparently in Prabhupada's time, one of Prabhupada's followers, he went to Radhakund and he's associating with one Babaji. And the Babaji said to him, "In the spiritual world, you are a peacock." So then he took it upon himself that part of his sadhana, right, after chanting his 16 rounds, was to practice being a peacock. So then one time one of the devotees came into the room and opened the door and he was walking around. Practicing being a peacock. I've heard this story, I don't know if it's actually true or not, but I've heard this story. But this is the result of improper initiation. Unbonafide siddha pranali. Or unbonafide, when you're not qualified yet. That's why the spiritual master does not say it to you. So when does the spiritual master say it to you? When do you find out who you are in Krishna's pastimes? Hands up if you want to know who you are in Krishna's pastimes. Would you like to know who you are in Krishna's pastimes? Do you have that desire in your heart? I have that desire. I'd like to know who I am in Krishna's pastimes. Right? Everyone has that desire. It should be in our heart. We should have that desire. I want to know who I am in Krishna's pastimes. Okay. So, that desire may be there in our consciousness. To know who we are in Krishna's pastimes. But the devotees ask Prabhupada, how will we know our eternal constitution and position in Krishna's pastimes? What is our swarup? Jivera swarupa hoy Krishnera nityadas. How will we know what is our eternal relationship with Krishna? Right? And Prabhupada said, the spiritual master will reveal it to you within your heart while you are chanting Hare Krishna. This was Prabhupada's answer. Right? This is based not on the line coming from Vakrasvara Pandit of Siddha Pranali, but from the line of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. In other words, you have to rise gradually through the chanting of Hare Krishna from the platform of Shraddha, gradually up through the different levels of bhakti. And then when you become qualified, when you pass Nishta, which we haven't even got to yet, we're still in Anatta Nivritti, we're still dealing with our material desires. When you pass Nishta, at that time, your chanting will take shape and form, and actually the platform of Asakti, which is the third highest level, the seventh level, at that time your eternal relationship with Krishna becomes revealed in the heart, right? While you're chanting Hare Krishna, the Guru reveals it in your heart. Your spiritual master will reveal it to you, because at that time when you're chanting, you will be meditating on your guru while chanting. A lot of the time while we chant now, we don't even meditate on our spiritual master. But you'll be meditating on your guru. And that meditation will become deeper and deeper and deeper. And then he will begin to reveal things to you as Krishna cleanses your heart sufficiently. And then it will be revealed to you what is your eternal relationship with Krishna. What is your swarup? Like that. So this is the process which we follow. So Prabhupada said it will be revealed while chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, so hands up if you like chanting Hare Krishna. I hope you like chanting. Because if you don't like chanting, it's going to be very difficult for you to realize. But this is what we should be searching out while chanting. We have to understand this. There is a process here. The Bhagavatam right here is discussing a process. We're not expected to remain neophytes forever. You're not supposed to be on the platform of just dealing with your anattas forever. There is something waiting for us which is far beyond where we're currently at. Right? There has to come a point in time where in your heart you develop an intense desire to understand your relationship with Krishna eternally. And when that desire is manifesting in your heart strongly and you're chanting very sincerely, Krishna and the spiritual master begin to reveal it to you. So that is what we should be aiming for in our chanting. Just like there's one saying in English, do not get on a boat if you do not know its destination. Just like if you go down to the port and you just jump on a boat and you think, well, I'll just go wherever this boat's going to go in the world. Right? A lot of us live our life like that. Right? Actually, it's very exciting to live life like that. Right. Just go down, just jump on a boat, and wherever it happens to go in the world, that's where we end up, and that's an adventure, right? And that's exciting, that's good, but you won't go back to the spiritual world like that. To go back to Krishna Loka, you have to be on the boat which is going back to Krishna Loka. And what is that boat? Prabhupada's boat. Yeah, Prabhupada is the captain of the boat. What is the boat?
Huh?
It is called ISKCON. You have to be in ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There are other boats also. We're not the only boat in the ocean. Sometimes we think we're the only boat in the ocean. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just us. You know, if you're not in ISKCON, you're not a devotee. No, there's many devotees outside of ISKCON also. We're not the only devotees. But our boat is called ISKCON. Right? And once you get on this boat, the captain, whose name is Srila Prabhupada, he said, don't leave this boat. Prabhupada said to one of his disciples, do not leave our camp. Right? Once you're in this camp of ISKCON, do not leave. Right? Stay on the boat. Right? Now, if you stay on the boat and you're practicing, the prime process of realization in our primary sadhana is Nam Kirtan. It is chanting the holy name. Right? So while chanting the holy name, this should be our goal. We should know where it is we're heading. We should know where the boat is going. Where is this boat going? We're all in the boat. We're all in ISKCON. We're all going. Where are we going? Is anyone here who knows where we're going? Back to Godhead. Where is that? Krishna Loka. Where is that? The spiritual world. Where is that? Where are we going? Where's this boat going? Goloka Vrindavan, very good. Where are we aiming for? Where are you going? This is what you have to understand. You're chanting Hare Krishna every day. Right? Most of us chant 16 rounds every day. Right? So you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Where are you going? Right? Where is your consciousness? Right? What are you aiming for? That's the point. Right? Otherwise, you can chant Hare Krishna. Bahu Janma Kadiyadi Shravana Kirtana. Tabutaya Pai Krishna Padi Premada. You can chant Bahu Janma. Bahu Janma means many. Bahu means many. Bahu Saka Hyanantascha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Many. Bahu Janma. Janma means many. Births. Janma. Bahu Janma Kariyadi Shravana Kirtana. You can do Kirtan. You can chant Hare Krishna for lifetimes. No problem. Right? This temple will probably be here for a few lifetimes yet. Right? The prasadam is pretty good here, isn't it? Right? You like the prasad here? I like it. It's good. So you can come back. No problem. Bahu janma kadiyadi shay. Come back. You can just sit here. Same as you're doing every morning. Go and sit in that corner. Chant your japa. And then go up and have breakfast. That's your program. That's what you're here for. Chant your japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. What are you meditating on? What am I going to have for breakfast? Meditate. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Today I'm going to have khichdi and some pakoras, puri, and some halva. Hare Krishna, right, one sandesh. Krishna, 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 Krishna. I don't know if I have tea or milk. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Shrikant. And Shrikant. And Shrikant, yeah. I'm going to have Shrikant. On Sunday, they will have Shrikant. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. So what are you meditating on? Where are you going? That's the point. You have to ask yourself, where are you going? Don't get on a boat unless you know where the boat is going. That's the saying in English. Of course, it's a lot of fun to get on a boat and just go anywhere in the world. That's a lot of fun. But in spiritual life, you don't play around. Right? Otherwise, you just say, oh, I'll just join any group. No, we've joined ISKCON. We've joined Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We are Rupa Nugas. We're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings through Srila Rupa Goswami. It is a line. And we have a destination. We are aiming for something. So while cultivating your Krishna consciousness, you should be aiming for Goloka Vrindavan. You should be meditating while you're chanting. I want to understand my eternal relationship with Krishna. I want to know who I am in Krishna's pastimes. That desire must be cultivated. Gradually that has to become stronger in the heart. Right? So, that is the process for going from Shraddha to Prema. That is what Rupa Goswami is teaching. That is what the Bhagavatam is teaching here. So we have to go through the different levels. Now the first level is Shraddha, faith. We all have some faith, otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here. Right? Shraddha, then we go to Sadhu Sangha, Right? We associate with devotees. That's what we're doing now, associating with the devotees. Especially, which devotees does it mean? When we talk about sadhu sangha, which devotees does it mean especially?
Very
advanced devotees. Very advanced devotees. We have to find advanced devotees. You have to find them, and you have to associate with them. Right? You have to find advanced devotees. Sadhu sangha. Actually, Bhagavatam says in the first three verses, rasika vaishnavas. Rasika means one who has taste for hearing the Bhagavatam. One who has taste for chanting Hare Krishna. You have to find those devotees who have taste for hearing and chanting. Right? And you have to associate with them. Right? Sadhu sangha. Bhajana kriya. Then you have to perform devotional service. You have to begin to chant Hare Krishna very sincerely and performing devotional service very sincerely. And then, what will be the product of practicing bhajana kriya? Anatta nivritti. Now, anatta nivritti means when you're performing the process of bhakti, impurities, they come out of the heart. Anatta means unwanted things, they rise to the consciousness, they have to be removed. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, like when you're boiling milk, what takes place? Right? All the impurities come to the surface. Right? He says that when you're boiling milk in India, like in the old days, you milk the cow, and then you come and put the milk onto the like the pan, and you begin to put the fire underneath, and then it begins to boil. He says then the impurities come to the surface. Bits of straw will come to the surface, or other impure things that will come to the surface. And then when those impurities come to the surface, what do? Yeah, he says that you take them and you discard them. So this is the process of anatta nivritti. Right? When the impurities come up in our consciousness while we're chanting and while we're doing our devotional service, you have to remove them. Now what happens when you remove them?
Consciousness
gradually becomes cleansed, yeah. What happens when you remove them? Some impurity, just like today, some impurity comes up and you remove it, and then what happens? Right? Tomorrow it comes up again. Right? Those impurities rise again and again and again. Right? It doesn't happen one time. Right? It doesn't mean you start chanting Hare Krishna and then, you know, lust comes up in your heart. Oh, I'm feeling lusty. Like that. Okay, get rid of that. And then tomorrow, it's not there anymore. Doesn't work like that. It comes back again and again and again. So there's impurities as we chant Hare Krishna over time. Gradually, we have to remove these things from our consciousness. Right? Gradually, again and again and again, we remove all these impurities. And we should feel over time, as we said earlier in the class, that these things are becoming less. Not that our lust is increasing. Not that our greed is increasing. Not that our anger is becoming stronger. Not that our pride is becoming greater. All these things should be diminishing over time while we're practicing devotional service. That is the process of Krishna consciousness that is being taught here. If you're practicing your bhajan properly, the result is these things should be diminishing. Sometimes we see that devotees have been practicing for many years, but the same material desires and the same negative qualities are still in their personality. Now, why is that? Generally, because they're not following the process properly. And what is the principal anger in the process? It is Nam Sankirtan. It's chanting the holy name. A lot of devotees don't chant very well. It's a fact. Right? A lot of devotees do not chant very good japa. What is the most important principle while chanting? To be attentive while chanting. And you see, many devotees, they're not so attentive. Right? So therefore, if you're not following the process properly, right, and if you're not applying yourself properly to the science of Krishna consciousness, to chanting your rounds attentively and properly, if you're not cultivating the chanting of the holy name, the impurities in the heart, they do not become removed properly. Right? And your progress will be very slow. So we see many devotees, they have this problem. They practice for many years and still the problem is there. That means that the application of the process is not correct. So then what to do? What do we do if we've been practicing for many years and the material desires are still there, and everything, the anattas or the unwanted things are still within the consciousness. The bad qualities, right, are still within it. Everyone calm down with the flowers, just work it all out quickly. Hard to give class on the flowers again, like, you know, seven times all point. Just honor the flower and then pass it to the next party. They pass it like six times all around. Like, everyone becomes distracted. So, what is the process while we're chanting? The process is to be attentive. Now, if you've been practicing for many years chanting and you're finding that those material desires, those bad qualities, they're not sufficiently reducing, right? And you find they're still very strong in your consciousness, Srila Jiva Goswami says, increase your hearing and chanting, right? Qualitatively and quantitatively. Okay, maybe just start chanting more rounds, but at least, and this is what I think is more important, because for myself, most of the year, except for basically when I go to India and maybe a few other times a year, I don't chant more than 16 rounds a day. When I go to India, okay, I can increase my chanting because I have time. That's why I go to Mayapur or to Vrindavan or Puri. So then you have time to chant more. It's ecstatic. Right? But in the West, you know, in the last 12 months there's been very few days, I think, where I've chanted more than 16 rounds. Most days I just chant 16 rounds. That's basically all I have time for. Because yeah? When my 16 rounds are finished, I've got a lot of service to do, so I don't have time. So what I work on, right, instead of increasing the quantity of my chanting, and I'm not saying don't increase your quantity, right? If you can increase your quantity, good. If you can chant more than 16 rounds, good, do it. But I know for myself, I find that difficult. So what I work on is the quality. Right? At least make those 16 rounds, at least make those 2 hours work. Right? At least get the full benefit from the chanting. Work on the quality of it. That means, what is the most important feature when chanting? Being attentive. Right? Chant your rounds attentively. Right? Chant good rounds and listen to the holy name. And make sure you are actually chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because, you know, after being a devotee for a number of years, some of the stuff that I've heard devotees chanting, I don't know what it is. I don't know what mantra it is. Right? It's probably related to the Hare Krishna mantra. But I don't know if it's the Hare Krishna mantra. You know, devotees drop words, they drop all sorts of things. Right? There's actually a religion where they do chant like that. That's called Islam. Right? In Islam, they chant like that. Like that. Yeah, we should be respectful. Yeah. Because that is a genuine pathway to God, Islam. You know, we should be respectful. They're very, some of them are very saintly, like that. But our mantras are different, and our mantras should be chanted properly. Right? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Ram Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, sometimes I hear devotees chant. It's ridiculous. So what does it mean? Yeah.
It means you're not being attentive.
Yeah, it means you're not listening. Yeah, if you chant Ram 7 times in a row, that's not the Hare Krishna mantra. It means you're not listening to yourself. Right? It means you're not listening. You're not actually listening. You're chanting, but you're not listening. So are you going to get the benefit from that chanting? You get some benefit, but you won't get the full benefit. If you want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime, you won't get that benefit. Right? You have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Right? There are 16 words, there are 32 syllables. Srila Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they should be audible. In other words, when you hear a devotee chanting, or when you hear yourself chanting, you should hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. You should hear that mantra. Right? And you should be listening to that mantra. Because right? That mantra, Cheto Dapana Mar, it will cleanse your heart. If you just listen to that mantra. Right? It has all the potency. Nijasava Shaktis. It has all the potency of God in that mantra, if chanted attentively. Then you will get the result. If you're chanting properly, right, in due course of time, the bad qualities will go out of your character. The material desires will leave your consciousness. They'll become less. That's how you know you're practicing Krishna consciousness properly. That's how you know you're actually practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti, properly. Right? You should feel your material desires going down. You should lose interest in this material world. And your all the good qualities, 26 qualities of a devotee, kripalu, akrita droha, sachasara, sama, they're the first four qualities mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They should be coming in your consciousness. Kripalu means compassion. You should be compassionate. What does compassion mean? It means you should preach Krishna consciousness. Right? Who's the most compassionate person that you know? The most compassionate person I know is Srila Prabhupada. Right? I don't know anyone more compassionate. Kripala, personification of Kripa, of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Like that. So you should be getting at least a drop of that. Kripalu. Akrita droha. Akrita droha means humble. Means non-defiant. Right? You should be humble. What is the way to test our humility? Prabhupada says, the proof of how much you love me, we should love Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, the proof of how much you love me is how much you will all cooperate together to push on this movement after I am gone. Prabhupada is not here anymore, physically. Right? So what is the proof of our humility? We'll work together. We'll get along together. Even though it's difficult. You have to put up with me, right? We have to put up with each other. Right? We all have negative traits. Sometimes we rub each other up the wrong way. Prabhupada said you get a group of, if you get bamboo in the forest together, there will be friction. Right? We'll rub together. There's always going to be friction. Even with very advanced devotees, sometimes there's some friction. Like that, because they have different opinions. But they work together. They put aside their false ego and their pride to work together to push on Krishna consciousness. That is humility. Humility doesn't mean you just walk around all the time going, Hare Bol Matiji, Hare Bol Prabhu, Hare Krishna. I'm very humble. Hare Krishna. Well, that's good. It's good to be humble. It's good to show some external humility, not just external. Devotees should be humble, but the most important quality of humility is that we will work together, right? Through thick and thin. Right? Sometimes it's difficult, but we all stick together. That's real humility. We'll put aside our ego and our desires to help push on Krishna consciousness. Kripalu, akrita droha, satcha. Satcha means truthfulness. You should speak truth. Hands up if you haven't told any lies this year. One? Do you believe that? You moved your jumper. So. Okay. Thinking about it. Hands up, you didn't tell any lies this year. Okay. Hands up, you didn't tell any lies this week. It's Tuesday, so. Very good. I don't think I told any lies this week. I don't think I have to think about it yesterday. But satcha means truth. What is it? The most important type of satcha is param satcham. Param satcha means you preach Krishna consciousness. That's the most important truth. Right? That we preach Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? We are fixed in that truth and we preach that truth. And we should not tell lies either. As much as possible. Like that. And then, sachasara, sama. Sama means equipoise. Devotees become equipoised. Right? Not really happy one day, really unhappy the next day. Some devotees, you don't know what you're going to get. Right? It's like living in Melbourne with the weather. Right? You don't know what you're going to get. You're going to walk out here this morning. Yeah, I've been living here all my life. I don't know what's going to go on today. I can walk out there, it could be a beautiful day, I could walk out there, it's going to be hailstorm. That's Melbourne. Right? And some devotees are like Melbourne. you got no idea what you're going to get. You know, you see that devotee and you don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes they're really happy and sometimes they're really not so happy. Right? So devotees should be sama. Sama means equipoised. Devotees, they should be basically the same. We all have good days and bad days. We all have difficult times. But our personality, if we're fixed in Krishna consciousness, we shouldn't fluctuate so much. We should be steady. Our mood should be steady. Because we're fixed, we're happy. Because why? We're fixed in Krishna consciousness. Okay, the material world's difficult. But we're fixed in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, our moods are fixed. So all these good qualities should manifest if you're practicing the process properly. And how do we practice the process properly? We chant attentively. So here the Bhagavatam is teaching us in this particular verse, text 20, this is describing prema. This is the final level of Krishna consciousness, the highest level of Krishna consciousness, from Shraddha to prema. This is prema. This is the highest level of consciousness of Krishna. So to get to this level, this should be our goal. We should understand this is what we're aiming for. This means understanding your relationship with Krishna. But we have to understand how to get to that. Right? You have to go through all the levels. Right? Anatta Nivritti. Then you get to Nishta. Then you get to Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava. We should aim to gradually, but we should know where we're heading. Our goal is to understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. That is our goal. So we should be chanting every day, heading for the goal. But we should do it gradually. Not that we all become peacocks. It should be gradual. Shraddha to prema. Go gradually through. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. How to not get influenced, then you have to practice sadhana bhakti. And the Prabhupada says the temple is a base. We come back to the base and then we go out from the base to preach. And then we come back to the base. Prabhupada said the morning program from 4:30 in the morning until, so it's 8:30 now. So for the last 4 hours, right, all you should have been doing is practicing sadhana. Right? I mean, sometimes we have other services. You know, sometimes. But more or less we should practice our sadhana. Right? So we go to Mangalati, right? Then we worship Tulsi. We offer our obeisances to the Vaishnavas, beg them for forgiveness. I'm sorry for any offences that I committed. Right? And then attentively chant your rounds. Come and do Guru Puja. Right? Come to the Bhagavatam class. Then you should be inoculated. Prabhupada says, then you go into the material energy, it won't affect you so much. Because you've taken the medicine. Right? Prabhupada said the medicine is chanting Hare Krishna and the diet is Krishna Prasad. Right? So we take Prasad, right? And then we go out and we preach and it won't affect us so much. But it does affect us. It's not that it doesn't affect us at all. But it will not affect us as much as it could. Then Prabhupada said once a year you should go to Mayapur and Vrindavan and you should purify yourself of all the contamination. And then you should come back to the West and you should preach. So that was Prabhupada's system. So if you follow that, then, you know, I mean, material contamination, it affects all of us. Like that, you know, you go out into the street, you know, you're doing Harinam on the street, but there's so many material things around like that. So it may affect our consciousness. But if we chant sincerely, just like tonight, 5 o'clock, there's a Harinam. So all the devotees, they engage, they fully absorb themselves in the chanting. Then you don't feel like you're in Melbourne. You feel like you're in Vaikuntha. You feel ecstatic through the chanting of the Holy Name. And then it doesn't affect you. So you have to always absorb yourself. So Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha Sada Hari, always chant. Now if you feel like Maya is attacking you, put your hands in the air and chant Hare Krishna. You can do Harinam 24 hours a day if you want. We can chant all the time if we want. And this week is World Holy Name Week. So all of us should make special endeavour to go and chant Sankirtan on the streets of Melbourne. All of us should make a special endeavour. This is the one week of the year which is called Holy Name Week. So we should absorb ourselves in the Holy Name. Then Maya will not touch you. Or she will begin to touch you less. So, is that helpful? Okay. Any other question or comment?
Can you really get liberated from inclination by living in the material world?
Yeah, of course. Prabhupada was living in the material world, but Prabhupada wasn't affected at all by the material energy. So you can live here in this material world and not feel any attachment. Because how does a pure devotee see the material energy? He sees the material energy is meant to be used in Krishna's service. When we see the material energy, right, we think it's meant for my pleasure. When Prabhupada sees the material energy, he thinks, oh, this is meant to be used in Krishna's service. Like that. So yes, it's possible to live in this world but not be affected by this world.
That's like a lotus leaf.
Doesn't become affected. So, any other question or comment? Because you do lots of service. Prabhupada, like we said last week in the class, but it was a pushing movement. So you're serving Prabhupada. Like, you know, I've got a lot of service to do. You know, I walked in this temple about 20 years ago, and I walked in that door for the first time, and Jagannath Balaprabhu was sitting over there on the step reading one of Prabhupada's books. And I thought, I want to be just like that. I just want to come here, be peaceful, and just read books. And then I joined up a couple of days later, and they sent me to Crossways, right? And then I was in Crossways for 2 months, and they sent me out on Sankirtan. I did Sankirtan for 8 years, right? And then they gave me different services over the year. I haven't rested for the last 20 years. You know, I should have joined another movement so I could be peaceful. I should have become a Buddhist, then I would have been peaceful. I came here to be peaceful. I haven't been peaceful for the last 20 years. And I don't think I'm ever going to be peaceful. But our peace is better, actually. Right. Our satisfaction is better because we're not looking for peace, we're looking for ananda. We're looking for bliss. Now, where do you get bliss? You get bliss when you surrender to Krishna and to the spiritual master. So we are surrendering to Prabhupada. Right? We're serving Prabhupada. We work hard to spread this movement. Right? We work hard to maintain this temple. Yeah, I know some of my friends, some of the devotees, when I was living in the ashram, used to go and collect. Right? Because this temple, you know, 15, 20 years ago, we didn't have a big congregation. Now, this temple is maintained by Crossways, by prasadam distribution, by catering, by prasadam distribution, and by the congregation, right? And our shop and, you know, other things, or book distribution, but mainly it's from those things. When I was in the ashram, you know, like 15, 20 years ago, this temple was maintained by brahmacharis and brahmacharinis traveling around the world selling paintings to collect money to sell, or walking around car parks selling stickers. So I know some of the devotees I lived in the ashram with, they collected over $1 million to maintain this temple. That's hard work. Right? They did a lot of surrender for this temple. And that's service to Prabhupada. So after you've been out all day distributing prasadam, distributing the holy name, distributing books, or doing your service with sincerity, with love and devotion for Prabhupada, and you walk back in this room, right, at the end of the day, and you offer your present, what you're feeling from Prabhupada is real. Right? It's not a mental concoction. If you're serving and surrendering, if you're giving your life to someone, then what you get is real. Right? You don't have to think, oh, is Prabhupada pleased with me? You look at his face, is he pleased with me? Right? When he looks at me a lot of the time, I can see he's saying, Keshav, you need to improve. Right? You need to go a lot further like that. And that's love. Love means that's the relationship. So that's real. Right? So don't worry about your mind. Right? If you're worrying about your mind, it means you haven't got enough to do. Do more service, then you won't have. Or if your mind, if you're listening to your mind too much, chant Hare Krishna and actually listen to the mantra. Half the time while we're chanting, we're listening to our mind. Start listening to the mantra, right? And then you'll start getting onto the spiritual platform. One time, one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, speaking about chanting, he said something like, Prabhupada, when we're chanting, then my mind, it like bothers me. And Prabhupada said, And it's like a conversation. And Prabhupada said, like that. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, when I'm chanting, my mind. And Prabhupada said, what mind? What mind? Right? He said, just chant. So if you're actually listening, your mind won't. The problem is you listen to the mind. Stop identifying with it. Right? You know what the mind is? It's a monkey. Right? And it sits on your back. Right? And it goes all day. You know, when I used to be a young devotee, when I used to do Sankirtan, I used to drive the car after the morning program, we'd get in the car, drive out to some car park around Melbourne to go and collect for the temple. And I'd pull the car up and I'd turn off the ignition. And every day my mind would say, don't get out of the car. Every day my mind would say, don't get out of the car. So then after a few months and a few years of listening to my... And then I learnt, okay, that's just what the mind does. It's just like a monkey which talks, but you don't listen to it. So what I'd do is I'd drive out, get to my destination, the car park, turn off the ignition, and then I'd sit there and I'd go, okay. And then you'd go, don't get out of the car. And I said, okay, no problem. And then I'd get out of the car. So you stop listening to it. Because right? It's just a thing, it just goes on and on and on and on. Sometimes you just say, okay, just go over there and talk to yourself. I've got some service to do. I've got chanting to do. So stop listening to your mind. Do some service. Is that okay? Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.